freedom, peace in this life, I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
And now let's get on to the heart and lungs of the show. We have three guests. MJ, we'll start with you.
Okay. Hello. It's early. Yeah, I'm... what do you want to know?
Give your name and who you're with so people know who they're listening to.
I am MJ Gilhooly, and I happen to be... They call me the national spokesperson for a national education campaign that tries very hard to be the liaison between all the cutting-edge information that you just heard about how dangerous the air is and the toxin levels, and what can be done about it in terms of living plants. And that's kind of my mission, is to always be bridging the gap between, you know, oh, God, we have this terrible problem, and many others. You know, you talk about asthma, you talk about mold, you talk about many other problems that sometimes people almost scapegoat out to plants. But in fact, plants mm-hmm. are the solution. And so I'm in touch regularly with the horticultural experts and researchers from around the globe to assess, measure, and apply that information wherever possible.
Okay, and we also have...
Madeline Simon.
And?
I have a landscaping company here in New York City, and we regularly supply and maintain live plants in office interiors and corporate plazas.
Cool.
And I'm John Minnie. I'm also a contractor providing interior and exterior landscape contracting in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
And later on, we'll take some listener phone calls so you can ask specific questions. And hopefully other people will want to ask those same questions. And so we'll learn a whole lot. Now, I remember years ago, you used to always hear about how great houseplants were for making the air in your house or apartment a lot cleaner and healthier, and everything was wonderful. And then I started doing Google Logic. And ever since then, the only time I read about indoor plants is when somebody says, if your kids have asthma, get rid of those plants. You know, that's a terrible thing. And it seemed to me to be wrong, especially since it was kind of the opposite of what I'd always heard. So what's the scoop on this?
Actually, there is formaldehyde in the air in minute quantities. And there.
You mean in somebody's home there's formaldehyde they're breathing?
Absolutely.
How did it get there?
Well, it's caused by foam insulation, plywood, particle board, pressed wood products, grocery bags, a lot of facial tissue, paper towels.
These all things give off little bits of formaldehyde. Wow.
And there are proven pollution fighters, which are azaleas, spider plants, pothos, bamboos, corn plants, chrysanthemums, and your old mother-in-law tongue, snake plants. But these plants actually cleanse the air.
How do they cleanse the air? I mean, they're just sitting there. What are they doing? How do they do this?
Well, there are two ways. Plants through photosynthesis, of course, take in carbon dioxide through their leaves and regenerate oxygen. In the process, they are cleaning the air and providing us with clean oxygen. The other thing that's interesting, though, the root system actually provides a cleansing mechanism as well and actually removes more pollutants than the leaves do.
So they take these pollutants into the roots via the leaves?
Exactly. Long as there's air space in the roots, which there has to be to grow a plant, so you have space between the soil particles, and air is actually filtered through the soil mass, almost like a carbon filter, in effect. So the plant is drawing the air through the roots as well as the leaves, and also filtering through the soil mass as well. So there's two ways that plants clean the air indoors.
And they do this for free.
And they do that for free, and they make your place look beautiful, and they make your workers react 12% faster, and they lower your absenteeism rate, and they're doing all these other benefits.
How do they know that it lowers absenteeism and increases productivity?
Oh, that's a good study. That's one of my favorites. There was a woman named Kajovi Field out in Norway, and she studied, and this is why I like this study so much, is there's so few completely controlled studies where she went into 51 offices. They were all structured the same. The lighting setup was the same. The workers were arranged the same in the room. And she did it exactly over 2 years, okay, with different varying amounts of plants in, plants out, and different proximity of the plants to the people. At the end of the 2 years, it was hands down consistent results that we had a 23% reduction in health complaints. And I have the table of those health complaints, what they were. Everything from headaches to congestion, fatigue, 23% reduction. And what's even more interesting to me, because I think some people get it, that you have to have some plants in common areas. You know, it's good to have them out by the lobby or in the atrium. But what this study did one step further is it says that if you increase the density and the proximity, that those health complaints actually went down by 36%. Now, what they did is then they transferred that into what that turned into absenteeism rate, which was a 14% reduction in absenteeism rate.
And, of course, the home office is just as good. And I would imagine it's easier for somebody to take care of their kids when there's plants around for the same reasons.
It's a stress reducer, and it makes people more productive. It gives them a quicker reaction. It makes them happier and healthier.
Most of the controlled studies we have, as the few that MJ has cited, generally study commercial environments, office environments. But if you think of the benefits that have been demonstrated in these studies, all the benefits are available to us if we have plants in the home as well. One of my favorites is a study out of the University of Texas A&M that showed that plants indoors improve our problem-solving skills, idea generation, and creative performance when you have plants around your space, be that home or office. To me, that's a penny and a half.
In the news reports that I do at the beginning of the show, about 3 or 4 months ago, I read one from Science News magazine that kids who were brought to class walking through the woods get better test scores than kids who walk to school walking through concrete and playgrounds. And the kids are also better behaved, the ones who walk through the woods. So,
and that goes completely along the lines with all the studies that Ulrich does in the hospitals.
I haven't noticed the behavior improvement part, but everything else is true.
I think that
when you have two hospital beds and one's facing a green exterior and one's not, that they absolutely know now that they require less pain medication, their healing time is faster, I mean, this is unbelievable. It's revolutionary, really.
It makes sense that people would like to see beauty and nature near them. Mm-hmm. It's all logical.
I used to work for the office many years ago. And every once in a while, an edict would come down saying, all right, all personal items off your desk. That means photographs of kids and people's plants. Mm-hmm. And in thinking about the show, I realized, you know, the people always had that stuff on their desks, always seemed to be the better workers. Mm-hmm. And I, at the time, thought, well, because the kind of person who'd be a good worker is the kind of person who would have plants and bring their kids to work. But I guess it's more to it than that. And it's sort of sad that they felt that there was something bad about somebody having plants.
Well, it's just ignorance, and I don't mean that in any derogatory term. I mean, it's lack
of... Oh, you can say it derogatory.
No, by ignorance, I mean, it's just, and there's so many, I was to blame. I mean, before I started this campaign 5 years ago, I had no clue. I mean, did you? I mean, that a Janet Craig plant that could be sitting next to you is actually acting as the heart and the lung of that room, of your breathing space. And it's eating about 1,800 micrograms of formaldehyde so that you aren't having to eat that. And that's significant. And I think the average person just doesn't quite understand that and thinks of plants as, oh, it's a mold problem or it's this problem or that problem.
Or it's just pretty.
Yeah, or they're pretty. And they just don't really get into the fact that these things are machines. These things, when they have plants in a typical office setting, with all the costs, and I'm talking about professionally installed and professionally maintained plants, that average company will reap a $14.51 return on investment per employee per month because of all these things we've been talking about.
Well, then why do they keep talking about plants cause asthma? Get rid of your plants if there's asthma.
I think a lot of that is anecdotal. People have plants in a space. They see it's a holder of moisture because you have to add water to it. There may be standing water sometimes in the saucer under the plant, and people start to draw conclusions that way. But again, the studies completely contradict any negative benefits and say the overall positive benefits are positive. There's no direct link to plants causing those kinds of problems, and on the contrary, all the supporting studies that we have seen support the clean air benefits, the stress reduction benefits, the productivity benefits, the creativity improvements, and so on.
Does it matter what kind of plant it is?
Not necessarily. Now, some in our tests have proven, and I say our tests, NASA started studies on the value of plants and their ability to clean the air 20, 25 years ago, thinking that plants might be important in space capsules and so on, and as a way to clean the air
sure.
in remote enclosed environments. And the plants they used did show some varying degrees of ability to clean the air better, but they all had a positive benefit.
Also, the small amount of humidity that plants give off make your skin feel better.
Well, there's actually studies there, too. Virginia Lord did a study at the University of Washington that said plants in a space will increase the humidity to an acceptable human level. And conversely, spaces without plants generally have a below human preference for humidity. So another way the plants actually are giving us a comfortable environment.
If it's too humid, will they do the opposite?
You'd have to have a jungle in your apartment to do that.
Yeah, it's not too humid.
Well, I mean, like, you know, on a summer day when it's humid outside, will the plants reduce the humidity by absorbing some of that moisture?
No.
My understanding is that they act as a controlled, they maintain, that's the key word, they maintain optimal humidity. Now, we like he said, we aren't talking about a jungle, but we're talking about perhaps one plant for every 1,500 square feet. And if you have that, it is said that it will maintain optimal humidity.
That's right. The studies show that it will maintain between a 30 and 60% relative humidity,
correct.
Which is very, very comfortable. Human
correct.
Tolerance for humidity and preference.
And I would say, Ken, too, you know, the lot of what you were talking about in your kind gentleman that talked before about the air and the conditions, you know, there are some things that your listeners can do. I mean, there is an organization called the United States Green Building Council. And I really firmly suggest that people look it up. The website is usgbc.org. And they often have open public councils, like right now, new public buildings, or that you can go in and you can give your opinions about this. And what you're more than welcome to do is first go to the Plants at Work. That's all one word, plantsatwork.org.
That's you
website.
Guys.
Yeah. Go to our website. Grab every bit of material in there, because all of the studies are there. And go back to the Green Building Council, because see what the Green Building Council is slowly doing is adding certification points that make it necessary that certain things that are good for human beings to be inside of commercial buildings are there, mm-hmm. okay? And right now, the only way that we have credit for plants, which seems like the most green thing you could imagine, is through something called the innovative point. It's not, in other words, given its own point. So that's what we are really trying to do, is get a lead point specifically for plant installations in these commercial buildings. Because if we miss it and we go down the road without it, we know we could really lose this important element of our life cycle, this important element of what is the hearts and lungs of the indoor environment we live in.
And Madeline, you mentioned something interesting about if there's a case of you think that the flower in your apartment is causing asthma, pluck it.
Yeah, I mean,
you have the rest of the plant.
I think that if there is a lot of dust around your apartment, it'll affect your asthma. But if the plants are clean, there is absolutely no reason why they would do anything negative to your health. It really is the opposite. I also think there's another psychological point that we should make. If the boss sprinkles plants in the office, in the open areas, in the midst, I think it gives a psychological boost to the employees that they feel that the boss cares about them. And it is really not about status. It's not simply the guys mm-hmm. in the private offices that have plants. It's about everybody that can enjoy plants equally. And I think that is a very big psychological boost to the productivity in the office.
Oh, yeah, and that too, has been studied about morale and how it affects morale and retention of employees.
They leave as fast.
Right. They feel, and it's exactly what you said, it's that they feel like they feel like the perception of the area is more enhanced, it's nicer. You know, wherever there are plants in like a cafe sitting in a cafeteria, the tables around the trees are the first occupied. Whenever you have something like Opryland Hotel, those rooms are the first occupied that are by the gardens, charging up to $7 million more in revenue a year because of those trees are right by those rooms. I mean, we know this is a fact. It makes everyone feel better. So it's, you know, psychologically, like she said. So it's just sometimes I get to the point where I feel like I want to say it's a no-brainer, but I understand. I understand that I was at the no-brainer status 5 years ago before I started reading all this.
Right. No matter what you know, there was a time you didn't know it.
That's right.
Let me put a little objectivity on this mold issue, too, if I can. You know, we're pro-plant, obviously, and we know its overall benefits, and again, there's so much data to support that. But an overwatered plant, a soggy plant, you know, can actually mm-hmm. get moldy. And we've seen it. And is that a detriment? No, not necessarily. I would compare it to the wet dish towel that you dropped behind the stove and, you know, under the leaky faucets and that sat there for a week or two. You know, you get the same kind of effect. My point being, if things like that happen, and plants have a limited life, you know, they're kind of like people, mm-hmm. they run their cycle, you have to dispose of it. If there's a problem like that, replace the plant, throw out the plant. One of the things we all do as plant lovers, homeowners, and as landscapers, too, is we tend to get attached to our plants, and you stay with them longer
yeah.
than you have to.
Like pets. But,
exactly, right? Yeah.
Well, let me go to a musical break, and then we'll come back with more specific items that people can do.
What the flower people say. Listen, it's getting louder every day.
We have here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM our own flower people. In the studio we have
John Minnie
and Madeline Simon.
And also we have
MJ Gilhooly with Plants at Work. And John Minnie has a wonderful, wonderful shop for putting plants all around. Anyone in the New York area, and so does Madeline Simon. I would suggest that anybody who wants healthy plants to look both of them up, and they're both of their information is on the plantsatwork.org website.
And I've also, on the Ecologic webpage, I have linked to both of their sites.
Very good.
As well as Plants at Work. So if you go to the Ecologic webpage, you can do a search for Eco-Logic or go to the WBAI.org and go to the Ecologic page from there, and that'll have all three websites that we're talking about. All of our guests are represented.
As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't realize that John Minnie, he was the one when the World Trade Center fell right down into the World Financial Center, which was his winter garden that he had so beautifully done. He has just a miraculous, triumphant visual story of how they rebuilt those palms in that place and what it looked like before and after. It is just chilling.
Well,
really,
with that kind of introduction, John.
Thanks, MJ. Appreciate that. Putting the plants back into the atrium in the World Financial Center certainly was an emotional experience. But the most rewarding part, and several people in the neighborhood came up to us as we were planting and thanked us for putting their garden back together. And once again, it's a reinforcement of people's appreciation for plants indoors, outdoors, and all around us.
Our company has done the holiday display in those buildings, and it was wonderful to bring something so festive to that area and made people smile.
Yeah, I bet it would. Now, you mentioned that plants are more or less the same in the benefits they give us, but they're not more or less the same as far as what we should have in our homes and offices. Could you give us a few for instances?
Well, the criteria you have to look at to put in a plant or choose a plant for your home or the office are essentially the same. It's all driven by light, a temperature range that's acceptable to people, which will also make it acceptable for keeping plants alive, and your humidity levels. The primary drive is always the light. You determine how much light you have, and then you back in to the range of plants that will live in those light conditions.
So how do you find that out?
Well, low, medium, and high light is how we tend to classify plants. Indirect light or artificial light would tend to be more low light conditions as you move closer to the window and certain minimum hours of sunshine, direct sunshine, say 2 hours a day, you're moving into mid, and then high light would be more than that. And then you just choose plants that are appropriate to that.
So if you have a desk in the middle of the office or your living room and you want to put a plant, you're talking about, even though if you have it well lit, you want a medium light or low light plant?
If it's well lit, you're talking medium to high light. If you're in the away
even though it's not sunlight, even though it's artificial
absolutely.
Light.
Yeah, there's plenty of plants that will live under fluorescent lighting, incandescent lighting, indirect lighting, bounce lighting from the window throughout the space.
Fluorescent lighting is kind of interesting because there are no cloudy days. There are no rainy days. It's very even. No leaves get burnt. And provided the lights are on 8 or so hours a day, it really is sufficient. What they have found is the best is to have one cool and one warm tube, a ratio of 1:1 that benefits the plants the most.
When you say, what does that mean?
You know, for example, let's say you have a fluorescent light above your desk and maybe there's 4 tubes. So if there's 2 cool and 2 warm, the plants react best to that.
Now, what about a home where you have a compact fluorescent light bulb, the kind that uses, you know, way less energy?
Any light that's available is going to benefit a plant.
It's that simple.
I didn't even realize that.
Now, how do you know which plant fits which light condition? If that's the major thing, there's a lot of plants at department stores. There's no one to ask. Are they usually labeled?
Well, that's really one of the votes to go to us as opposed to an apartment department store.
Well, yeah. I was going to say that in a second, Madeline, because really, truthfully, Ken, this is one of the things where when you hear any negatives over the year about the problems that you find that people have health conditions, either in the home or in the office, you can a 99.9% track that to it being not professionally taken care of and or selected. So I'm not saying don't do this at home, because it's America's favorite hobby. Absolutely everybody's going to do it at home. But get professional help. I mean, get, you know, if you're... If,
what do you mean by that?
Well, I really do.
Is that all of us? Or?
Boy, God knows I need it. No, but get, you know, what Madeline is saying is that there is a science. These people have gone to a lot of school and have done a lot of very large, majestic projects to find
how
out.
How did that happen?
To find
that's
out.
Interesting.
You know, exactly this amalgam of light and air and what you need to have the perfect hardy plant for that area. And I think that that's where you do call somebody off the plantsatwork.org website that's in your area and say, can you come over and do a consultation with me?
There is so much literature having to do with plants. If somebody wishes to, there is really no problem about researching which plant is where. It is a mixture. I like to say it's a marriage of science and art. The art without the science doesn't work. The science without the art doesn't work. It's a beautiful mix.
And there's also the thing of since now you have a living thing in your place, somebody has to take care of it. And certainly hear a lot of people, oh, I don't have time to take care of a plant, or I'll forget and kill it, and nobody wants to kill anything. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's some plants that are hardier than others.
But it's like a puppy. You know, you get a puppy home, you have to know what to do. You have to care for it.
And I think some people don't get puppies for that very reason. At least they have respect for the puppy.
Right. But
one very good bit of news today is that plants, on a relative basis, are less expensive than they were 20 years ago. The cost of plants, and whether that's retail or at the commercial level, as Madeline and I provide, are lower compared to the increase in the cost of living, making it a very, very good value. It's an inexpensive way to decorate and do all the other wonderful things we've spoken about. But my point being, don't get too attached to the plant. You know, it's easy for us to go by the corner store and bring home a bunch of daisies for a few dollars, and it'll stay on the table for a week, and then we'll throw it out. Well, don't think that the plant has to last forever. Even if you have a quote-unquote black thumb, and that's often why people say, I can't take care of a plant because I have a black thumb, it's still worth trying. You can experiment with it. You can try it. There are hardier ones than...
So if one kind of plant doesn't work, try another kind.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it lasts 6 months or a year, you get the beauty of it, you get all the wonderful health benefits, and then you buy another one.
I've been telling clients for the last 25 years, plants generally cost less than 1% of your commercial office budget, but they give 40% of the image. When you walk into an office that has plants, you know it's a taken care of office.
And I remember a girlfriend I had years ago gave me a coleus for a present, her thought being, well, since I'm going to forget and I'm away a lot and everything else, and that it's a hardy plant, and if I forget to water it, sometimes it'll survive it. And I went away for 4 weeks, and the person who was supposed to take care of my apartment never watered the plant for 4 weeks. I came back, and it looked dead. And in desperation, since it was a girlfriend who gave it to me, you know, I said, oh, you killed Donna's plant. And I put water on it, and it came back to life.
Sure.
4 weeks.
They want to live. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, after 9/11, I remember going to One Liberty Place to our clients in One Liberty, and we hadn't been able to get into the building for some weeks, and it was wonderful that all the plants were alive. We really lost very little.
Yeah.
And Ken, a coleus, by our definition, is a very difficult plant. Needs a lot of light and a lot of water and a lot of attention. There's a lot.
I didn't do that.
There's dozens. Yeah. There's 100 plants that are easier to care for.
Wow. We're also not talking about sub-irrigation. There's one could do sub-irrigation and not be dependent on watering.
Let's take some listener phone calls. We have a few minutes left. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Here, I just turned down my radio.
Thank you.
I have a few questions. I would like to know if I should have... I have an apartment. It's like a railroad-style apartment. Is it good to have a plant in every room?
Why not?
Okay. just because you guys were talking about like 1,500 square feet, like one plant per, you know, that amount of square feet, but I guess that was pertaining to offices. The other question is, my cat likes to eat my plants, and I planted cat grass for him, So he would stop, but he eats my other kids.
I'll tell you what I did years ago. I did in the blender, I did lots of evil smelling things like Tabasco and lemon and pepper. And I blended it up and I put it in a pint sprayer. And I sprayed the leaves, and the cat really got turned off by the smell and didn't go near it ever again.
Oh. Can you tell us what that is again? Lemon, pepper?
You know, you could go into your kitchen and...
There was spicy food stuff.
Exactly. Things that will put off a smell that are going to be a turnoff for the cat. Lemon, pepper, the Tabasco, so anything that's smelly.
Well, you've got every single light is being lit up here, so...
Okay, one last question, I'm sorry. Hello?
Go ahead, quick.
I have, like, almost no light in two of my middle rooms. Could you suggest a couple of plants that would grow well in that sort of condition?
The pothos, the snake plant, corn plant, or any Dracaena.
There you go. Okay, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi. Welcome to WBAI.
Hi, I'm glad to hear this. It's great. It's a lively program. I had heard a couple of questions. I see down in Chinatown that they sell bamboo plants, and they didn't look like much. And I have a feeling that people from traditional societies know more about nature connected to it. And evidently, you mentioned bamboo plants as being an air purifying plant.
That's correct.
And interesting.
I think also bamboos
you get them very cheaply downtown.
Yeah, and they're considered good luck.
Mm-hmm, right.
In that culture.
High light or low light?
There's one thing I found, I heard about, and I don't think you've mentioned asparagus plants, which I understand are very good for purifying the air.
Asparagus plants, great, need a lot of light.
A lot of light.
Yeah, the bamboo will work in medium or low light.
Oh, great. Okay. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Listen, I just had to step away from my desk, and I didn't hear everything you said about you spray Tabasco and lemon on the leaves, and it won't hurt the plant?
It won't hurt the plant. And it'll just...
And you put it in water?
Yes. Yeah. You put it in a pint sprayer, and you
spray...
In
a spray bottle, you mean?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Room temperature water in the early part of the day, and the cat, you know, the cat will get turned off by the smell.
And it won't hurt the plant?
Nope.
Oh, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My solution was to buy a big dog.
You're on the air.
Yes. You know, I would like to ask some question about the plants. I have plants in my house. I love plants, but it happens that I don't know their names. But as long as I put them inside during winter, and they start, some of them start dying. And I put them in a back window where I have 10 windows. It's like a sunroom. I'm wondering whether it's too much light. I don't know. Some of them, they start dying, even if I water them very often.
So you're summering them outside and then bringing them in the winter?
Yes. But you know what happened? I have two of them. I can't remember the name. They were doing fine before I put them out. The first summer, I put them out, and then when I get them back in, they start having something like some white dots on it that looks like fungus. I don't know what it is.
They know what they are.
Yes. What is it exactly?
Well, summering your plants outside is a great idea. Don't give them too much light when you put them outside, or you'll scorch them, and they will have a tough time reacclimating back to the lower light of your indoor apartment or office.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And when you bring it inside, you do want to reduce the watering because of the less light. The photosynthetic process will slow down. If you continue to water it heavy, again, you can develop root rot, and eventually you can
hurt less the plant. Light, less water.
But correct. You know what happened? In this room that they get plenty of sunshine. It's like a room of 10 windows. I was thinking, is it because of too much sunlight?
Well, you described something white on the leaves. Is it cottony looking? Is it white cottony?
You know, it's one of these plants that when it grows up, it opens like stars. It opens up. It's really nice. And it started, I bought a little one at Home Depot, and it goes nice, easy, go nicely. And this year, I noticed it gets that white spot on all of them.
Yeah, but I was trying to determine whether it has an insect or an infestation.
Okay.
Sometimes a cottony look is truly an insect that is eating your plants, and they spread like wildfire.
You know what happened? I don't know if it's because when I put them outside, I used to see squirrel coming to these pots. I don't know whether it's squirrels that brought some kind of of microbes or something. Because before, when they used to live inside, they never had that. As long as I took them outside last summer and I put them inside for the winter, and there's two of them.
I would prune off any mm-hmm. branches mm-hmm. that have those white spots.
Okay, I was thinking of doing this.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And isolate that plant from the others. It,
yes.
You know, it may have a problem.
Okay.
Maybe on its way out.
Okay.
All right, thank you for your call. There are so many people who want to talk, and we're not going to be able to get to everybody. I know it. Hello, you're on BAI.
Ah, thank you. Because of work I had to attend to for a few minutes, I missed the list of plants for cleaning the home. And I have bad respiratory problems. Oh, anything?
Yeah.
It's a matter of quantity, having plants, and B, some quantity. The more you can do, the more the cleaning effects will be. Here's a simple rule of thumb.
Uh-huh.
Two or three plants in, say, the 2-foot range in an average-sized room, home or office, will give you tremendous cleaning benefits, air cleaning benefits.
Okay, anything in particular for bad respiratory problems?
Anything that's appropriate to the growing conditions that you have. Just worry about that. Get a plant that'll live and match it to the light, and it will do its job.
And anything, I'm stuck with synthetic carpeting, anything relative to that particularly?
Well, Madeline touched on that before. The synthetic carpeting is high in the formaldehyde.
I know.
And the plants.
Chrysanthemum.
I'm stuck with it.
And the plants are terrific in removing formaldehyde.
What plant did you just
Oh, yeah, spider plants.
Spider plants are very good for that.
Pothos.
Spider
and pozos.
Corn plant,
and actually,
bamboo.
Believe it or not, even aloe vera eliminates emissions from most toxic materials.
Oh, good. Aloe vera. Uh-huh. Aloe vera, bamboo, pothos, and spider.
And snake plants as well.
Great. Oh, thank you so much. That's wonderful.
And one more call, and this is you. No? Okay. You're the one more call. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, I'm just starting to... Well, I'm interested in buying some plants. I don't really know too much about them. I was just wondering, could you recommend some specific plants that are not too difficult to take care of?
Depends on your light. What kind of light conditions are you looking to put the plant in?
Well, I have a lot of windows coming in.
What direction?
A lot of light coming in. North and I think west.
So that sounds like medium light?
I'm sorry, north and east.
There's a whole class of plants called Dracaenas, which include the corn plant, Janet Craig, Warneckii, and they're all very sturdy and good beginner plants.
Okay, and we're going to have to tie
all right,
this
thank
up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I apologize to all the people we weren't able to get to.
But if you want to do any work with John Minnie or Madeline Simon, they're right there in your town. Look them up. They both have websites, and they can help you. And if you want more information on how plants can help you, go to plantsatwork.org.
Okay, well, thank you, MJ Kahuli, Madeline Simon, and John Minnie.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye now.
Great job.